Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome to the next episode of We Are Women. I have Jo Devon with me this morning, and Jo is from Positive Living Skills. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Jo. I'll say hi, Jo, first.
Hi, hi, Janine. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jo finished school in Brisbane in the late 1980s and went straight into the workforce, as a lot of us did in the 80s, and she built a really solid career in residential housing industry and consumer finance industry, and areas of customer sales and business development and HR management. Like a lot of women, Jo always thought that life would unfold according to certain expectations that she'd held since she was a young girl, as we do. Mm-hmm. Travelling, getting married, having children, and living happily ever after, the whole fairy tale. Then life happened, didn't it, Jo?
Yeah, sure.
And she found herself back on the back of a failed marriage at 35, facing infertility, and with her new partner at 40. While she still loved to work in the corporate world, Jo felt that she was making a difference in organisations, and she did. She felt like you were making a difference in organisations that you worked in.
Yep.
But you felt a little unfulfilled, is that right?
Yeah.
And in some way realised that there was something else beckoning her. I think that a lot of women probably listening to this will know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
And some other way that you might be able to help people and learn more about yourself at the same time.
Mm.
So you tell me that you began a journey of self-awareness, learning and growth, and a diploma of counselling, volunteering as a lifetime. Well, you'd want them to help as a lifetime, but
that's
a lifeline
true.
Telephone counsellor. Now, that is a tough gig.
Yeah.
And then attaining qualifications in life coaching, neurolinguistic programming. And now you have created and deliver programs that help men, women and children to implement positive and practical ways to feel fulfilled, balanced and mentally well.
Mm.
That's certainly a journey, Jo. How does it feel to be where you are now?
Actually, I was talking to someone the other day and I said I feel more at peace with who I am and where I am in my life than I've ever felt, ever. So that's a good place to be. I'm still learning every single day and developing. But, yeah, I just feel a sense of ease, I guess.
And I think that's what a lot of women are looking for. And, you know, sometimes it takes a few years to get there, but you eventually do have that sense of ease. Why, you know, I always ask this with each person I interview is your why to what you do what you do. Yeah.
Yeah, why I do what I do. I believe that we all have, well, we've all got resources inside of us. We're all have the opportunity to fulfill those, and we've all got the right, I believe, to live a life that where we can find fulfillment and whatever that means for us. So I just think there's too much. Too many problems in the world around mental health, and certainly in Australia, for all age groups and genders and situations. And I just think we've got an opportunity to be able to build a set of resources, build on the resources we've got, and get that support to enjoy life, live a life of joy, and find that peace in the present moment more often.
And I suppose a lot of that possibly would have come from being on Lifeline as well.
Mm.
Just, I know the statistics around anxiety and depression and suicide are quite outstanding.
Mm.
Outstanding.
They are.
Disappointing.
And it's disappointing. It's pretty alarming, and it's sad. And the thing is that, yeah, that was a wonderful learning experience, being in that position of being able to support people you will never meet. They don't know who you are, you don't know who they are, and that's the beauty of that. And you've got an opportunity to be able to help people, and it might have just been just to be a person to listen on the other end of the phone. So it actually taught me a lot about I had a certain, I used to have an opinion about suicide that I felt like people were being a little bit self-centred to do it, and it changed my whole opinion of that. I realised, and through the training that I undertook through there and the counselling and coaching as well, is that people in that situation are in such a level of pain that they believe that the world will be much better off and everybody in it will be much better off if they're not there. So they believe that's the only, and the level of pain is so huge that that's the only thing they can think of to do. So if I was able to a couple of times help someone to, I guess, make what they call a bit of a psychological contract with somebody to decide to put that feeling off, and find ways right then and there to look after themselves, then, I've, you know, I felt good about that. And some days you never knew, you know, you don't know what happens to those people. But, yeah, wonderful journey on building my own self-awareness even more, and then being able to support other people is wonderful.
And look, what, one of the reasons particularly, because I know that you've developed a lot of educational tools that people can implement on a daily basis. And look, one of the particular reasons I've found this of interest, other than the statistics, other than that it, you know, there's lots of people out there suffering. I've had a personal situations where my niece committed suicide, and also one of my closest friends, he committed suicide as well. And it was just so tragic for all of us that are connected with the situation, and particularly their families, that I know that you've got a lot of great stuff that you work with now, particularly with the children, that, you know, that will hopefully change people to so they've got the tools to be able to overcome those feelings that you're talking about. So I know there's lots of reports even with young children with the statistics, isn't there, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Children as young as four are now being diagnosed with anxiety. There's, you know, the statistics around young people in that 15 to sort of 25 age group. I mean, it's bad enough that car accidents kill a certain proportion of that age group, but suicide is a bigger killer. And that's something where that's why our work has gone to a younger and younger and younger age group. So if we can begin to build a self-awareness around how we think and how we feel from that 3 to 5 year old age, then we've got an opportunity to build those neural pathways so that when we get to that adolescent time of life when it's scary and unknown, and we want to be able to have people to be, have the opportunity to help themselves when they first, you know, just handle the resilience or build the resilience to handle life. So if we can start earlier, like we learn how to tie our shoelaces and wash our hands and ride a bike, you know, even so many years later we get on a bike and even though we might be a bit wonky, we actually can ride. Mm-hmm. So we built a pathway in our brain for how to do that skill. And if we can have kids build a pathway of how to notice when they're not feeling well in their mind and what that means to them and how they're speaking to themselves and ways that they can change that around or get support, then, you know, we've got a chance in a generation to begin to positively impact those statistics, which is exciting.
And I imagine, you know, parents can teach their children to ride, they can teach them to wash their hands and tie the shoelaces, but when we're looking at learning positive mental skills, the parents may not be the best person, people situated to do that, or even their teachers or even other, you know, educators that the children are involved around, unless they're particularly targeting that topic.
That's right. And we, you know, we didn't learn it at school. And education seems to be the universal place to learn. And while educators and teachers are under a massive amount of pressure and stress to deliver what they have, that's why I guess our programs have been developed to be really flexible and really scripted. So that helps the teacher. They can pick it up and run with it. But, yeah, we didn't learn those as kids. So it wasn't until I was in my 40s till I started this, you know, self-development journey myself that I learnt things that I use now every day that I didn't know up until that point. So had I had children, you know, I wouldn't have known the skills to share
No.
So, look,
on that topic, I know now as a grandmother, I am much
congratulations.
Better placed. Oh, thank you. Yes, a newborn. But as a grandmother, I am much better placed with more skills now than I ever had raising my own children. And I'm sorry, sons, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You just know better and have more information. So tell me about positive living skills. What do you do and where is the background of that?
Yeah, well, we're a social impact organisation, so it means our output is all about the social good. So we develop and deliver a range of wellbeing programs, and we're excited that our early childhood program is in the marketplace now. It's been positively reviewed by Kids Matter, which is the national board or body that looks at these kinds of programs. Ours is a little bit different because it is based on that concept of procedural learning, which is what I was talking about before, about if we can start learning something at a young age where we repeat it and we practice it, then we can build a lifelong skill around it. So that's what our programs are about. We've also got the primary school program. So at the moment, we're actually talking to political leaders, ministers. We're actually talking to primary healthcare networks. We're talking to researchers as well to help our program to be considered as a long-term study around prevention, because we're asking these ministers questions like, where do you think prevention of mental illness begins? And they're sort of saying, well, it's the first sign of trouble. And I'm like, well,
it's a bit late, isn't it?
Well, it could. Who even
knows what is the first sign?
And how will you know if you see it? Mm. So we're sort of questioning that and saying, well, maybe mental health, true prevention is is just building the resilience and the skills. So, yeah, wellbeing programs delivered. We also run the programs for educators and teachers as well, and that's spreading into community as well, and we've got little activity books and all sorts of things. So, yeah, that's where we sit.
And your work is backed by a lot of research, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. While we want to research the programs we're now completing, the content or the principles within the programs we develop are based on a 40-year body of work undertaken by Professor Dr. Terry Orlick. So he's based in Canada, and we teamed up with him through Positive Living Skills. And, yeah, he's been spending many years working with high-performance athletes, high performers in areas of music and business. So his key is about building and maintaining top focus skills and also maintaining balance in your life, because, you know, to perform at any level in any professional pursuit, you need to be able to perform, you know, as well in your life and keep that balance. So building and maintaining positive focus and especially focusing through distractions. So he's been awarded numerous times and been a keynote speaker all around the world, and we're delighted that he's completely sponsoring and endorsing all of our work, and that's giving us contacts in Canada as well that we're speaking to right now. So,
And that obviously gives you that credibility to take into the, you know, well, the decision makers, usually just the government, so they can go, well, okay, this has been done and it works, and why aren't we doing it then?
That's right. And a lot of the studies he did with children, I mean, even some of the relaxation techniques, children were able to regulate and their own heartbeats. So, you know, they started a test and measured their heart rate, and after doing these relaxation techniques that we use in the programs, they were able to calm themselves physically and emotionally. So, yeah, numerous studies and a huge body of work, and we're really pleased to be working with him and sharing his and building on his work. Mm.
And is there a title to your early childhood program, and exactly what specifically does it involve?
Well, there's in the early childhood program, it's the Positive Living Skills Wellbeing Program for Early Childhood. We've matched it to the Early Years Learning Framework curriculum. So there's a national curriculum for that age of learning, and we've matched our 48 lessons to that. So what we have is 48 scripted 15 to 20 minute lessons with full resources, and we've developed a mascot character as well, and he's all about a growth mindset, Possibil. And
what was that again?
His name is Possibil, and he's
so he looks like a possum.
He looks like a bit like a possum, but mm-hmm. wears a hat and he's got clothes on, and he's all about because we want kids to build and maintain, and we all want to have a growth mindset so that any time in our lives we know we can have a go at something. We're not going to have to get it whatever anybody might consider right or perfect, that building skills takes time and practice. And because a lot of people are in that instant gratification mode, or if I try something and I don't get it the first time, I'm obviously a failure at that, or I obviously don't have skills at that. And, you know, we want to be able to live our entire lives with that growth mindset, which is I'll have a go at something, I'll keep trying, and I'll give my actual personal best, which is all I can expect of me, or anybody else could expect of me. So yeah, he's involved as well, and 48 lessons, lots of resources, highlight clickers, so kids can actually bring their focus to the positive about what they're appreciating in the moment. So these highlights, kids can count what's happening. I saw a butterfly. The sky's blue today. I had a strawberry for breakfast. And
so explain, I know you're saying that they can click it, so it's just like a little counter clicker?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
It's a counter clicker, and it's tactile, and it's obviously part of Terry's research as well. And it's just a beautiful way to bring our focus back to the simplest joys in life, and I think sometimes we miss those, and they're right under our noses, and they're the things that matter, and they're the things that create us or give us the opportunity to be in a positive frame of mind. And the more you build on those, and the more you realise it, the more you're really appreciating your life. So they're little cute little clickers. They're part of it as well. And we've developed an activity book for that 3 to 5 year age group, which can exist within or outside of the program. So it's got colouring in and stories, and it's focused on the content or the concepts within the program, which focus on, you know, building and maintaining positive focus, understanding your feelings, relaxation, highlights, self-esteem and cooperation. So they're all the six sort of topics within the early childhood program. And then the primary program builds on that, so that as the children and students are getting older, they're learning more about decision making as well and ethics and that sort of thing. So it fits, the primary program also fits within the general capabilities of the new national curriculum as well.
Okay. So, going all the way through.
Yeah.
And that, as you said, that's what builds up that continuous mindset, doesn't it? You know, that it's part of who you are.
And it becomes okay. You know, when we ran the pilot, one of the teachers who was teaches a year six class, there was one of a child in her class who had been seeking support outside the classroom. So he was seeing a counsellor, psychotherapist, and that was working well. What she found had a real impact on him was the fact that because the conversations were happening in the classroom, that she saw, in her words, a light came on in him that she hadn't seen before, because everyone was talking about it. And while we're all really different and unique, we're all similar in some ways. So he just felt okay that they were having conversations about how my normal is different to your normal, and normal doesn't exist really anyway. And he felt, and she saw him change, you know, through that.
And I think that no matter what age, it's that realizing that we all have thoughts that we need approval, that what is normal. The perception of what we see on television and bombarded on social media is the expert, the beautiful, the perfect. I suppose the perfect is a good word.
Yeah.
And that children particularly are trying to attain that perfection. And in doing so, recognizing their own shortfalls and seeing that as imperfection. So it's, instead of knowing that it's the perfection
it's an illusion.
It is an illusion. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
So it is an illusion, and that if they've got that inner strength within themselves, then they recognise that what and who they are is okay. Because, and that's something that is really powerful, isn't it? And I know we said that before, is that to know that you can be the best that you can be.
Yeah.
So that's a great place to be, you know, in the moment that you're thinking, well, that's, you know, it's probably the best I can do at this particular moment.
Yeah, and it might mean you have another go, and
well, you learn some more to so that you can do it better next time, or you know, whatever it is, and that realization sometimes takes a lot of years, and it is tough around those teenage years to own that, isn't it?
That's right. And wherever, whatever academic level anybody is at, you know, and it's great that we focus on literacy and numeracy. It's just that if people get to that, you know, adolescent time, they can have wonderful skills in those areas, but unless they can look after themselves and have skills to navigate the road that they're on in life, all those other skills aren't as important because, you know, we all want to find a balance, and we all want to live and actually realise when we're in a moment of joy and actually be able to appreciate it, because everyone's got this elusive, I'll be happy when, you know, I get a new job, when I pass that exam, when my life changes in this way, when I lose weight, and happiness is available to us now. We're not all going to be jumping around la 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 happy all the time. That we're not made to do that either. The contrast is absolutely essential, but that happiness is available to me now. It's available on this day in a simple way, and it doesn't usually cost me any money to have that.
No. I'm just trying to remember the author's name of the book, Happy for No Reason. It slipped out of my mind.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that.
But it's a terrific book, and I recommend that for people as well. It just follows on exactly from what you're saying, is that you can be happy for no reason just by thinking that you are going to be happy this day.
It's a
decision
rather
than
choice.
Than an expectation from how the environment puts pressure on you. You can make the choice to be happy, and then it's quite a realization. Then you go, oh, really? Can I do that? And then you can just do it, and everything else seems to change color, and the filter on the world looks quite differently as well.
And the more you know that when you do catch yourself in a period where you're not feeling how you'd like to feel, and that's what we're saying too. We're going to have a contrast of feelings, and we're made to do so. So it's just that if something hangs around for a long time and it's hindering, you know, the living that you want to do, then you want to find ways to be able to change that up. And there's ways you can do that. And then you want to find ways to get support if you're not changing it up yourself.
So the clicker, you've talked about those, the clicker, and you also said those six main points of within each life. Let's work through each one of those. So the first one?
So in feelings, it's really, that's just focused on emotional intelligence. Unless we actually recognise a feeling that we're having, we can't learn how that self-awareness works for us. So it's learning how to notice feelings in yourself, how to notice feelings in others, where feelings are in our body and how that impacts us, and then choosing a feeling. We've got, you know, some of the activities involve changing channels, and that's one of the things for the kids really that's really powerful, because they can choose how to change a channel, and they can use their physiology to change a channel. They can use how they're speaking to themselves to change a channel, so that if they want to move from a sad channel or a grumpy channel or an angry channel to a happier channel or a peaceful channel or a relaxation channel, there's ways that they can do that. So feelings is an important one. Highlights is the bringing of the attention. Focus is actually building focus skills, and that's a core proven.
So that's number one was feelings.
Feelings, highlights.
Highlights.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the feelings one before we
race
on to the others. And we just sort of touched on that about feeling happy. There was the movie out that came out, Inside Out.
Yes.
So that's probably a great way for children to recognise those sort of feelings. And it's great that movies like that are out there for the market for children to see and recognise that it is just somebody in their head talking to them about that particular moment. So what tool with the feelings, you know, we can recognise it, we can do it. Mm-hmm. Is there one tool that's just not for children, that's for adults as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's for every day of the week. You wake up in that cranks and then the rest of the day just falls.
Yeah, and
to
and
crap,
the bring
really, doesn't it? Because of how we've woken up in that morning or one little thing that's happened, and we've yelled at the kids and yelled at the husband, kicked the cat and you know.
Yeah, and we've made a decision probably by that stage that this is going to be one of those days, inverted commas. So then where our filter, and this is where these concepts link in together, because if we're choosing that focus and we go, oh, right, okay, the cat, you know, thing, and then the thing, and then the kids, and now the car, and now I've got to, then what else? Something else will be happening today. So we're actually bringing our focus to what we're expecting to go wrong.
Looking for something to go wrong.
And the thing is, we find what we're looking for. You know that when you buy a new car or a new make of car and you drive that make of car out of the showroom of the, all of a sudden, you go, oh, there's another one. All of a sudden, and you know, it's not like someone let these cars out of a warehouse waiting for you to drive out of the showroom. Your focus, the filter of your focus, has been drawn to that car.
Yes.
So just like we've got a filter of our focus in our minds, and we can choose during the day whether we're drawing the focus to what we're expecting not to work or what we're working towards, what's working inside me or what's not working. So it's a mixture of choice, focus, and then there are some practical skills that we can use to go, well, you know what, my focus at the moment isn't on the great things. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to go outside and look up at the sky and take four deep breaths. And while I'm doing that, I might bring my mind focus to what is working. What's worked today? Well, I had breakfast. That was really nice. I went down the road. I had a conversation with this person I love. All of a sudden, my focus and then my neurology is matching up with that, and my physiology is then matching up with that, that I'm actually looking for and expecting and therefore experiencing the positive of my day. So when it comes to kids, we put it into more practical. It might just be a movement or a way that the changing channels is a great one, because they can actually pretend, or they've got the highlight clicker in their hand, or they're pretending they've got a remote control and they're clicking. I'd like to click onto a more relaxed channel now. And that's a great tool then for the people in the educational scene to be able to use that during the day to help that energy of the classroom.
Yeah, that would be very helpful in those classrooms.
Yeah, really great one.
I've been in a lot of those classrooms and helping out. I'm just thinking that with my two-and-a-half-year-old grandson, and this is something that I didn't do with my own children, because the days were just the days, you know. You just did what you did with what you had, and you had a lot of other tasks to do.
Of course.
But we can distract him so easily from the mood he's in or the moment that it's an incredible tool to be able to do. So, you know, one moment – well, took him swimming lessons on Thursday, and in the playroom afterwards, this boy gave him two big shoves, pushed him over, and my son was thinking I'd like to deal with that child, but didn't, and we removed our grandson from the room, and he was very upset and crying, and then when we got him in the car, we started talking about buying him a baby chino. You know, it wasn't a bribe; it was just that we're going to coffee, and he went, I think that's a good idea. And then we talked about the other boy might not have had the skills, and you might just not play as well as he does. And he went, oh, okay. And he changed from being extremely upset to going, okay, next. Yeah. Move on.
That's it. And you know, and it was okay for him to be on a little unhappy channel for a little while.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you talk it through and bring the focus to something new, something that he obviously was looking forward to, and that changed his situation.
Marshmallows.
Yeah.
Yes, and knowing how to do that in your own mind as an adult, knowing for children to have that skill to be able to do that themselves, I just find that incredibly powerful.
Yeah. Well, in some of the – when we were piloting some of the children in the grade 2-3 sort of level – started to say, oh, you know what, I can feel my face going red and I can feel my, you know, butterflies in my tummy. I know I'm getting angry. So they actually had a name for the feeling, and they knew what was happening in their body as it was coming. So they were like, oh, I'm just going to sit over here. You know, the teacher was astounded. So, you know, as they get older, you can obviously then teach children how to connect feelings with, because we usually do, and it's usually either a bit of a tightness in a chest or if I'm feeling unhappy, chances are I'm looking down and my physiology has gotten quite low. So, you know, there's all these connections that once you build your awareness around how you do what you do, how you speak to yourself. So we introduce the children within the program in a fun and interactive way about how we're talking to ourselves all the time. Because once we, that's the first step, once we build that awareness of how I actually communicate with myself, that begins to be able to, you can understand it, then you can have a conversation and redirect yourself in a way that you want to go.
And I can imagine that would it be, this would be an extremely powerful tool to reduce bullying as well, because often bullies are more fearful than the children that they bully.
And anger is usually fear. You know, fear of not being enough, fear of being shown up, fear of the world, you know, and that comes out in that arrogance or anger. So if you can build compassion and empathy as well within, which is a big part of our program, then, you know, people are understanding. And, yeah, definitely how we speak to ourselves, how we hold ourselves. I didn't know her personally, of a woman who coached a boy purely on the way he walked and stood in terms of and it changed his situation at school around a bully situation. So just the way he held himself, the way he looked at people, the way he walked into a room changed, and that physiology spoke to people in a way that he wasn't no longer submissive, and that person didn't see an opportunity to take advantage. So, yeah, there's some powerful things.
There was an education program that was around a while ago, and it brought bullies with the victims in large groups, and they worked together. It was called Real Teens, but I'm not sure if it's available still. And what they found was exactly that. The bullies could identify those that would be bullied. Yeah, some kids will never get bullied. It's just not, you know, talk to the hand sort of thing. It's not part of their DNA to take that on. But others seem to be bullied a lot, and it is part of that, the image that they're projecting across going, okay, I'm open to it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and look, there's some great programs out that specifically focus on those things. What we, with the Positive Living Skills programs, ours are grounding programs. So we're saying, well, here's a broad, universal set of skills where we can start to build those habitual positive habits and skills in our lives. And then those specialist programs sit really well on top of those in all the body image and the bullying and the, you know, the stranger danger, all those things have an absolute wonderful place. And ours is sort of under there saying, well, hang on, let's have another look at that, and let's keep looking at it. So if 2-3% of teaching revolved around teaching positive living skills, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, short, sharp bursts, situation specific to the school and the classroom or the group, then it's also helping the teachers and educators in the environment, and those skills are beginning to be learned.
And I can really see how having that as the base, those other programs have got so much greater chance of success.
Oh, absolutely.
Because unless you realise that you can think differently, then you can't just bring in something and go, this is the way it is.
And you're teaching that core sense of self-belief that then underpins those other specialist programs. So we're all worthy, and that's something that takes people a lifetime and may never
end up
believing. Yeah. And it's once we do that and have that as a belief, then those other things don't have as much of a place.
Such a strong statement, isn't it? Mm. We are all worthy.
Yeah.
I like that. So we talked about feelings and the highlights and focus. Yep. So where do we go from the next?
Highlights and focus, then relaxation, because that's so important. And we have little guided 5 to 7 minute tracks where the kids get taken on a little journey. So helps them just to keep regulating, brings their focus to the present moment. And gives them opportunity to. So that can be used in the environment, of course, you know, bring a group in after playtime, everyone's, you know, high energy, bring the energy down, or to refocus to do a task. So teaching children that relaxation, and obviously that then touches on, between relaxation and focus, touches on mindfulness, which is, you know, non-judgmental appreciation of where we are at right now in our world. That's becoming more and more challenging with all the media and all the different technology coming at us, is actually saying, well, I'm going to be in this moment and actually not do anything.
Yeah, there are so many distractions for us.
Yeah.
Children, adults, the whole world is just one big distraction at the moment. So being mindful is one of the best tools that you can have to actually achieve the results that you want to achieve or the focus where you want to put it.
That's
because
right.
you filter out those distractions.
Yeah, and as adults we don't always give ourselves permission to relax or even – and it doesn't mean you need to go and, you know, join a meditation group and spend 3 hours a week. It's you can find relaxation in 30 seconds. You can find it in the car. You know, you can find it just, you know, from moment to moment. You can really relax your body almost in one breath. And so we've got a range of different exercises and activities that we do as adults. And we put into the children's programs as well. So, yeah. And then cooperation. So just building, there's a lot of cooperative games in the early childhood program. And it's an idea where, we all have a turn, and that's a big thing. So it just does help the children to build the skills of sharing and working together for a common goal. And that's really what they're going to be doing in a workplace or a sporting team or in family. So that's a really important one. So and appreciating other people's perspectives and then self-esteem. So that's where the growth mindset comes in, where my who I am is different to who you are, and both of us are okay. And I think that then builds nicely or underpins you know, the culturally diverse programs that are out there that build on that. So yeah, the self-esteem is I have the capacity to build skills in something that I'm interested in, and I will probably need to persist to get to a level that I want to get to. So that growth mindset is really important part of that self-esteem, and that your success is good doesn't diminish me, because that's really can be something that we all, if we go around our lives comparing ourselves to everybody, gee, that's a recipe for not feeling happy.
Absolutely. And, you know, because I work with a lot of entrepreneurial women and it's easy to look around and see that others are successful and how, but rather than sort of feeling less worth yourself, you know, what I tend to do is go and find, well, how can I be as successful as they are? And look, this is part of the whole reason that I decided to do these We Are Women podcasts, that it doesn't have to be, you know, someone like Oprah Winfrey or, you know, that's we're interviewing people such as yourself, Jo, who've got these great tools and skills that's out there, and it's out there in easy to achieve, easy to find, and that we are aware then, okay, well, you know what? I need a little bit of that information. I need to maybe go read a book or, you know, do a course or do something that I then get those skills.
Yeah.
You know, so that I then, okay, that's another little thing in my tool bag. And
how does that person do what they do so I can learn from that? And let's celebrate. Let's first of all acknowledge what we are doing ourselves and be kind to us and say, well, okay, if that didn't work how I wanted it, what can I do next time? And, you know, this whole fear of failure thing, it's failures. I mean, the only way we get, you know, to where we want to go is to have a go, is to take action. And taking action, you know, you think about all the people in history. Even, you know, good old Colonel Sanders, what did he, 60-something years old, he took his, you know, special recipe and knocked on 650 doors before or something like that. That's probably not the right number.
Until it's somebody very close said, to it, actually.
Somebody said yes, you know, and if he knocked on 3 doors and thought, well, this recipe's obviously no good and I'm never going to get it, look at how his life could have been different. So I think it's acknowledging where you're at, persisting and connecting, you know, for women who are wanting to follow their passion, which is what we're talking about. People who go, you know what, I want to do something and I believe I have something to give. I like talking about Tony Robbins' rocking chair test. You know, fast forward yourself to 80 years old and you're sitting in your metaphorical rocking chair looking back on your life. If there's something that you've gone, I always wanted to X and I never gave it a go, then give it a go now, because this is it. I mean, and even if you believe in reincarnation, you're not going to remember this life, next life anyway. So, you know, get out there and have a go. And if you sense or if you perceive that people are out there judging you, they're probably not watching you as much as you think. And, you know, they're probably wishing they were giving something a go. So
there's a couple of good learnings from that. And that's one of the things is that's something that most people don't realise is everybody's so concerned about themselves that they're really not looking at you and they just don't even notice you.
That's right. It's
interesting. I go to a lot of events and I purposely do this afterwards and think what people are wearing and I don't know.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much focus on how we look and how we project to the outside world and you're thinking, really don't remember. That. So I'm so concerned about myself and everyone else is concerned about themselves and the next person concerned about
themselves.
Yeah,
we're all watching our own movie, or, you know, that we're not really – we haven't got the capacity to watch yours as well.
No. And that's part of, you know, learning that as strong mental health is to go, okay, all right, so nobody really cares that I
– yeah.
You know, I've got that pimple on the face or what, it really
that's
doesn't
right.
matter. It's not going to
– appreciate what you're doing. Acknowledge yourself for what you're doing. Go for what you want. Persist, you know, and people will, you know, and connect. And that's what I think is important, particularly for women, to, you know, connect with someone. If there's someone there that's achieving what you'd like to achieve, connect with them and go, I'd really like to find out how you do that. And chances are they're going to be a giving woman who go, oh, I'd love to chat to you about that.
I know I'm involved in, with a group of women and we meet monthly for a mastermind group, and that is just really powerful opportunity to do exactly that and, you know, to be in a non-judgmental space. So that's something I do recommend women to do is to
– and great advice.
Yeah, and to find people similar mindset, you know, and that you can just throw it all out there and then they, you get greater feedback and you get good ideas and you also get the opportunity to, you know, shout your accolades as well.
Yeah, you've got a cheer squad, you know, and sometimes it'll be the group who will help you just to offload something in an accepting, loving environment, and then keep you moving.
And that, you know, that all ties back from childhood to, you know, 'cause we started off with a conversation about mental health and depression, and I know one of the statistics that just scares me the most is that one in four teenagers have mental health issues.
Yeah.
But the one that really scared me is that there's more young people die from suicide than car accidents.
Yeah.
Now we've got so much publicity and we don't want to publicise suicide either because that's one of the worst things you can do because it just creates a follow-on. But there's so much put into that and, you know, you want to stop this right from the young.
We've got to change this stigma. And that's the thing. And to me, it changes from it's a generational thing, and I think it's going to take time. But the more that we talk about it, not from a point of view of, or from a point of view of, everyone's unhappy sometimes. Sometimes it lasts for longer. A lot of people experiencing different forms of fear or anxiety or whatever you want to name it. We don't want to teach kids about looking for mental illness, but we want to teach them ways to look after themselves. But if and when inevitably people experience challenges, that it's okay and that everybody goes through something like that at some stage, and the more that it's okay to seek support and to put your hand up and if we can build peer support via programs like these for kids, then mates will be looking after mates. Which is, you know, a brilliant thing too. So, generationally, then we can be the women or men who have who overcome their fear to follow the path that they'd like to choose and move forward and feel great about it.
And that's sort of nicely tied up to, you know, where we've come back to us being adults and and looking back at our lives. 80-year-old, I like that Tony Robbins way of doing that.
Yeah.
And see, well, what did we wish we had done? And and today's always the best time to start.
That's right. And, you look at it, today is always the best time to start. Yeah. That's exactly it. You never go, well, I'm too old for this, or that's a limit you're placing on you.
All of these programs, you know, again, removing the limiting beliefs, it's so tied up with mental health all through our lives.
That's right.
It's quite amazing. Any couple of takeaway points before we just finish up, Jo?
Yeah, well, I guess our main goal is to, help people live healthy, joyful lives where they get to feel well. And so our programs, early childhood program, primary program, are our main programs. We also run workshops for men, women, communities, education, business. So we've got a website, www.positivelivingskills.com, our Facebook group, we're on Twitter. We're not on Instagram yet. I'm sure we will be. And, we'd just love to connect with people who want to be involved and to share the programs with the community.
And particularly educators?
Definitely educators, early learning centre educators, directors, owners, the primary schools. We're also, at the moment we're conducting or beginning a long research project, so we've got some universities we're talking to about that, but definitely educators and school teachers, principals, etc. So we've got, go to our website and there's all different ways to contact us there.
And they can also contact you, email you direct.
Absolutely, jo@positivelivingskills.com. Love to hear.
Look, thank you, Jo. We covered a lot of topics and we sort of wave around as we usually do in these, but I believe that the information, I always find it invaluable, and I'm really trusting that it is been really worthwhile for people that are listening. So, look, I really want to thank you.
And valuable for me too. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks, Jo. And that's Jo Devon from Positive Living Schools. And that's another We Are Women episode.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.